Blog Talk Radio.
Your grace and mercy draw on me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to thank you and
everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Brother Bradshaw will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. So I ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing, you find yourself a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. September 2021, on the 22nd of September, and October will be just right up on us in just a minute. We're just so glad that you're part of our program. Wake up with us this morning. It is going over into the fall out here in Atlanta, Georgia. It's black as 3 midnights this morning. The sun's not come up, and it has been raining all week, every day. Don't leave your windows down on your car. When the sun come out, it's a trick. Don't leave your windows down. The next 5 minutes will be raining so hard you can't go out there and raise them up. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to be rejoicing and be glad in it. I want to talk to us this morning for just a few minutes about two things. One is the jealousy of God, the jealousy of God. And, of course, this jealousy is a little different than it is from the human standpoint. But I want to talk to you about the jealousy. God is just so jealous of our attention, and he wants us to be, well, he actually wants us to be like our parents. Probably three things that I guess I want to talk about. One is God is jealous. Number two, our parents want the best in the world for us, and sometimes we don't recognize that until we get adults and get grown and old, and we butt our heads up against the wall so many times, and we find out, oh, that's what mom and daddy was trying to tell us. And then the other thing is this thing of free moral agent, this thing of having choices. When I was growing up, we didn't have choices. When the car moved, you was in it. You didn't ask no question where it's going, where we go, how long we're going to be gone, when it's going to stop. You just got in the car. And whenever your parents ask you something, they just say, because I said so. Whenever you question that, that was probably back in the day. And it worked. But today I'm noticing, like with my grandkids and great-grandkids, they sort of have choices. I mean, at 3 and 4 years old, who would have thought that you could ask them, do you want this cookie or you want that other cookie or whatever? And then, no, I don't want that. Wasn't even in our vocabulary when we was coming up. No, all those kinds of words. And so, but I want you to study in your mind sometime about this thing called free moral agent, having choices. It's because there has been, through life, things offered to us that was for our best interest, that would make us better financially. I'm not talking about gimmicks and all those kind of things. And I'm not talking about people who try to take advantage. I'm talking about just the upright truth. There were some things that were just good for us that we made a choice not to do it, not to take it, not to be a part of it. And so when I got to thinking about that thing, and I'm gonna do some more thinking about it, and it's on it, because that word, that phrase, free moral agent, it dominates our world. It dominates our life. It'll dominate you today if you don't watch it. You'll make a choice. You'll make an ignorant choice today, or a stupid choice that you should have done better on. Why? Because of that free. I don't think we've talked enough about free moral agent. I really don't. Because it's a silent killer. It is. Once I thought about it, being able to make choices about some things, it is a silent killer. Because you can put the very best right in front of us. And what's the first thing we got to do? Make a decision as to whether we want it or whether we don't want it. And sometimes we just make that ignorant decision. And I'm telling you, it has gotten us into a lot of trouble. But let's just look briefly at this idea that God is a jealous God. Now, the reason why I said about this matter of choice is because I don't care how much God has done, is doing, will do for you. Sometimes we just still do not accept him. Sometimes we just do not follow his pattern. Sometimes we just don't want to go in that direction. That direction just don't feel right at this particular time. And that's the reason why I'm putting these two things together. This free moral agent having choices because see, that was the thing that got Adam and Eve tripped up, is that they had free choices. God has said in the garden, now check this out. God has said in the garden, every fruit in the garden, everything in the garden, which is in your best interest, you can have it with no strings attached. No strings attached. That's all you got to do. The devil comes along. He trips us up by saying that tree is just as good as any other tree in the garden. I don't know what the deal is with that. Why aren't y'all eating off of that tree? Now, you got 1,000 or more here that you can eat, but you want this 1,001. And the next thing you know, they made that ignorant decision. And why wasn't they happy with what they had? Why wasn't what God had already given them tangibly? I'm not talking about on some of these programs like Let's Make a Deal, Behind Curtain 1, Curtain 2, Curtain 3. I mean, God has laid this thing out for us that there shouldn't really be no choice but except for him. And that's the same way with our parents. The things that our parents used to do for us and are still doing for us, and the reason why I said still doing for us, because sometimes you're in your 70s, 80s, and your parents still have to come back and do some things for you. But out of all that they have done for you, some kind of way you rejected that, some kind of way you thought that that was the worst thing that could ever happen to you. Don't go to that party right there. Oh, you just don't want me to be with my friends, and you just don't want me to have fun and all that kind of stuff. And tomorrow morning on the news, you hear where four killings at that particular party, and he just barely got away. Why? Your mama just knew some stuff. We know some things. We know some things by osmosis sometimes. It's some things we just feel. And when they tell you that, you think that, boy, they just hate you and they don't like you. They don't want you to have fun. Don't want you to have no friends. Don't want you to be around. It's not that. Choose another friend. Choose another place to go. And now that I'm on that little road, that was one thing that bothered me about Halloween. You know, most Church of Christ people don't believe in Halloween because of spooks and goblins and all that kind of stuff. But it's in your face. It'll be coming up here shortly in October. And one of the things we used to say is, don't let the kids go trick-or-treating, and don't let them go do this, don't let them do that. What I've always had problems with in my preacher career is, whatever you keep telling them don't do, why don't you provide something for them to do? Why don't you open up a gym or open up the church or something on that particular night and have some function of your own? If you don't want them to go to this place, you pick. Don't leave them hanging. Just don't say don't do this, and then you don't offer an alternative. That has always bothered me. And so God is a jealous God. In Exodus 20, verse number 5, Exodus 20, verse number 5, and God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which hath." And listen here. He tells you. Here's one thing that God has always done, or the Bible has always done. He's told you what he's going to do, what he's doing, what he's done, and then he asks you what you think about that. That's what God's question is. So he lays it all out for you. You don't have to try to figure out, wonder what God done for me. Listen to what he says. He says, and God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven images, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God." Now, he's already spelled this out to you, so you don't have to figure out, well, should I worship this, or should I? He's already laid that out for you. In John 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Anytime Jesus is around, the light is going to escape. It's going to go somewhere. It's just like when you go into your bedroom and you turn the light on and the room was dark, the darkness escapes. Light and dark, God says, cannot exist at the same spot, at the same time, in the same place. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So we know that God created earth. Then in Genesis 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. So we know that God made man. So, but do we provoke the love, do we provoke God to jealousy ourselves? Is that what we do? Well, I want to mention just a couple of things to you, and we may have to talk about this again at another time. But This means that God wants all of our love and our affection and our service and our attention. He does not want to share us with anybody or any other thing. God wants all of us to actually be productive. In Matthew 6 and verse number 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon too at the same time," he says. And I wonder what we've done to provoke God. Well, God is jealous of several things. We won't have time to go over all of them, but I do want to just mention a couple of them. God is jealous of many things. God is jealous of who we hear. He wants us to hear Christ. In Matthew 17, verse number 5, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And he answered Peter and said unto them, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, beheld, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were so afraid." That's one of the first things, and probably the only thing we'll get a chance to talk about today is that God is so jealous, he wants us to hear what he has to say. But then we go back to this premoral agent thing. What will you do? Will you choose God, or will you choose the stupid things sometimes that we do? As we go through this day, let's make some good choices as we are premoral agents. As we go through this day, let's choose the right thing. Let's choose the best thing. Let's choose the best thing that's going to come out on the other side, and that's what God wants us to do. He is it. If you are having a lot of trouble, a lot of situations, you're going through a lot of drama, you are living beneath your privilege, because God wants us to have an abundant life. And I didn't say rich and all that kind of, I just said he wants us to wake up in the mornings feeling better. He wants us to wake up, go through the day without a lot of drama, without a lot of situations. Don't let nobody steal your joy today. Father, we thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. And we're going to make the right choices as free moral agents. We're going to choose you. And we're going to continue to love you. Jesus loved us. He died for us, and he's coming again, and have a super duper day.